If you will, open your Bible to John chapter 1. You know, John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Scripture says that God hath in divers manners and ways spoken to our fathers by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. For those prophets began back in Genesis, and the last one of the Old Testament prophets was John the Baptist. And the scripture says concerning him and them, to Christ gave all the prophets witness. That's their message. To Christ. They bore witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins. And John was the last one of a line of Old Testament prophets. Malachi, turn a minute to Malachi chapter 3. Isaiah bore witness to John and his ministry. And then here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. John the Baptist is mentioned here. He's the messenger. Behold, Malachi 3, verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, before Christ. And the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And this is John the Baptist that Malachi is talking about. I'll send my messenger before Christ come. Now in the first chapter of John, our text this morning, John bore a vital and powerful witness to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look at it just the six things here that John said about the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, that are very powerful and very profound. First of all, in verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me. What's he talking about that? This is the witness that John bore concerning Christ. He said, he that cometh after me. What does that mean? Well, Jesus Christ was born 6 months after John was born. John the Baptist was conceived by Zacharias, his father, in the womb of Elizabeth, his mother. And she was a cousin of Mary. And Mary, 6 months later, was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So John was born first. So John says, he that came after me, 6 months later, is preferred before me because he was before me. He not only, John says, was before me, he was before all things. That's right. His goings forth, Micah said, his goings forth are from old, from everlasting and everlasting. That's who our Savior is. He who came after me is preferred before me because he was before me. And here in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 23, our Lord, listen to this, I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. Before the mountains were settled, I was brought forth. So that's what John's saying here. That's his witness. He says, he that came after me in the flesh, born of Mary's cousin Elizabeth, he's preferred before me because he is from everlasting. He was before me, before you, before all things. All right. Then in verse, if you will, look at verse 23. They said here in verse 22, they said, when then said they unto him, who are you? Who are you? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What do you say of yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This is my message. Make straight the way of the Lord. Make straight a path for our God. Who is this to whom John is bearing witness? The Lord. The Lord God. You know, when Saul of Tarsus was smitten of God on the road to Damascus by a light brighter than the sun, and he was blinded and fell from his horse in the dust, and looking up with sightless eyes into that bright, awesome light, he cried, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? Who are you? Who is this God? This light brighter than the sun. This awesome holy one. Who is it? And here came the answer. I'm Jesus of Nazareth. That's right. But this is the Father. Yeah, I know, but the Father and the Son are one. The Scripture says there are three that bear record in heaven. Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I and my Father are one. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. As who are you? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. God was manifested in the flesh and seen of the angels and preached to the Gentiles and believed on in the world and received up into glory. That's who we're talking about. John said that's who he is. He's the Lord. You call me Lord, you say, well, so I am. All right, thirdly, verse 25. And they ask him then, saying unto him, why do you baptize if you be not the Christ, and if you be not Elias, and if you be not that prophet? And John answered, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you do not know, and he it is whose coming is before me. Whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth, I am not even worthy to unloose. Who's this talking now? John the Baptist, the messenger of God, the one sent of God from back in Isaiah's day, prophesied. John the Baptist, who of Christ, who of John, Christ himself said, there's no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. But John says this about Christ. He's preferred before me, and I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. He is superior to me. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to the priest. He's superior to the angel. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 2. He is preferred before me. He is superior to me. He hath all preeminence. I'm not worthy to bow at his feet. And here in Philippians 2, listen, verse 6. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, though he's in the form of God. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him. This is what John's saying. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name preferred above all, preeminent to all, superior to all. God has given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. When John stood in the waters of the Jordan and baptized the Master, the heavens opened and the Spirit of God came down upon him. And then a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Preferred above all, superior to all, with all preeminence, "This is my Son." And then the second time, when the three disciples were with our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, the heavens again opened, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son. You listen to him. You hear him." That's John's witness. Who is he? He's superior to all. He's before all. He has all preeminence. All right, the fourth witness, verse 30. "And this is he." This is he, verse 30. "This is he." It says, well, let's look at verse 29. "Then the next day, John, seeing Jesus coming, said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him.'" What did John say about him? Number one, he's preferred before me. He's the Lord. He's superior, has all preeminence, and he is all holiness. The Spirit of God came down upon Christ and abode upon him. Abode upon him. Now, watch this. Turn to John 3. The third chapter of John. The third chapter of John, and connect this with verse 34 and 35. John 3, verse 34. "For he whom the Father hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." What's that saying? That is, when we preach, the Spirit of God anoints us. The Spirit of God gives us words to say and thoughts to think and a gospel to preach. The Spirit of God inspires us. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. But none of us are totally filled with the Spirit. None of us, the Spirit of God abides upon us in a constant manner. Not like Christ. The Spirit abode upon him. He's perfect holiness. He's perfection. He is the Spirit of God. That's right. The holiness of God, the Spirit of God, is called in the Scripture the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So that's who he is. The Spirit of God abode upon him. He is the righteousness of God. He himself embodied is the righteousness of God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That can't be said of any other human being. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. Listen to this. The Spirit of God abode upon him. The Spirit of God is not given to him by measure. It's by in totality, completeness. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Listen to this. Verse 5. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I raise up unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his day, Judah shall be saved, and the Israel shall dwell safely. This is his name, whereby he shall be called. He is the Lord, our holiness, our righteousness." all things. He's the Lord. He has the crown rights. If you go back to my text in John 1, I read verse 32. But now look at verse 33. He said, I saw the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove. The Spirit of God rested upon him, abode upon him, abode with him, in him. And I didn't know him. But he that sent me to baptize, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending and remaineth on him, the same is he which has the crown rights, which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost, which gives life, who quickens whom he will. He baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He quickens whom he will. He has the crown rights. That's what the old preachers used to talk about. He has the crown rights. The Father raiseth the dead, even so the Son quickens whom he will. He is life. He gives us life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. See, that's the crown rights. All right, number five. Look at verse 34 now, the next verse. And John said, and I saw, and by record, this is the Son of God. But preacher, there are many sons of God. You're absolutely right. There are many sons of God. I show you that in Hebrews 2. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. There are many and many sons of God. Many sons of God. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm a son of God. You're a son of God. Every believer is a son of God. You're now children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But here, listen to Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are of one, are all of one, for which he's not ashamed to call them his brothers. He's a son of God. I'm a son of God. You're a son of God. Everybody is a son of God. But there's only one eternal, omnipotent, immutable, perfect son of God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. And we read about him in Hebrews 1, back here, one page back where I just read, Hebrews 1. Listen to this scripture. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. His Son, the only begotten Son of God. And here's a description of it that no other man can fill. His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. That's who he is. By whom he made the worlds. That's who he is. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholdeth all things by the word of his power. By his power, the word of his power. Whom, listen to this, when he had by himself, through no work of ours, but through a work only which he accomplished, by himself, he purged our sins. And where is he now? Where no other son of Adam is or was, he sat down on the right hand of God, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's who he is. And then here's the sixth and last witness. I go back to verse 29. John the Baptist said, he's God eternal. He's God eternal. He said he's the Lord of salvation. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. Thirdly, he's superior. He's sovereign. He hath all preeminence over all things. Fourthly, he's holy. He's the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the perfection of God. That's who he is. He's the Son of God. But here, in this verse of Scripture is the message of the whole Bible. The whole Bible summed up into one verse. Listen. The next day, verse 29, John, seeing Jesus coming to him, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Brother David Adkins, years and years ago, had an experience. He was not a religious person. He was a profane person. But he got under conviction for sin and wanting to know God. He didn't own a Bible, so he bought him one. He bought a Bible and he began to read it. And he started over here in Genesis chapter 1. That's all he knew to do, just start in Genesis chapter 1, reading the Bible. And he read and he read and he read through Genesis and through Leviticus, or Exodus and Leviticus. He came in to his wife and he said, you know, this was his testimony. He said to his wife, if a man is to come to God, if a man will be forgiven of his sins, if a man will worship God, I found out one thing so far reading this Bible. He's got to have a lamb. He's got to have a lamb. If he's to come to God or know God or be forgiven of God and worship, he's got to have a lamb. And that's true. And he couldn't find the answer. And I was preaching on television one Sunday morning. And I preached on from John, this verse right here, John 1, 29. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. David was sitting in his living room listening to that message. And he heard me announce my text, Behold, the Lamb of God. And he called his wife. And he said, come in here. There's a man preaching on television that's going to talk about the Lamb. So he listened. And Tuesday morning, I was sitting over here in the office, 20 years ago, I guess. He came walking in. And he said, I'm David Adkins. I said, Henry Mahan. He said, you're the preacher that preached on the Lamb of God. I said, that's right. He said, you're going to preach here Wednesday night? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to come hear you. And he came and he heard that message. Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. David was right. If a man's going to know God, he's got to have a lamb. If a man's going to come to God, he's got to have a lamb. If a man's to have his sins forgiven, he's got to have a lamb. If a man's going to worship God, he's got to worship God in the lamb. That's right. He's right. Abel had a lamb. That's right. The two brothers, Cain and Abel, they came and they were going to worship God. This was way back there when they got out of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve did the thing. Their sons were grown up and so they came to build their own altar. And Cain built an altar and he brought the fruits of the field. He brought the things that he had by his own hand had wrought to approach God. And God refused his offering. But Abel came and brought a lamb and slew that lamb, saying to God, I believe God. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sins are due God's judgment. And for God to be justified, I've got to come to him through the blood of the lamb. And there you see the lamb typified. God had respect to Abel because he came to God through the blood of the lamb. But he didn't have respect unto Cain. And then there was a man called Abraham. And he was going to Mount Moriah to worship God. And going to take his son up there to offer him unto God as a sacrifice. That was God working that, his pleasure and his will in that. But anyway, so Abraham and Isaac took the fire and and took the wood and started to the mountain. And young Isaac turned to his father and he said, "Father," he said, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the lamb? Man can't worship God without a lamb. Can't come to God without the blood of the lamb. Where's the lamb?" And his father said to him, "Son, God will provide himself the lamb." And he did. And you see, Cain said, "I see the lamb typified." And Abraham said, "I see the lamb provided." God provided it. Man didn't provide it. God provided the lamb. God himself is the lamb. God himself provided the lamb. And God provided a lamb for himself. God provided the lamb. Our lamb's provided by God. And then Moses had to have a lamb. He was going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, 400 years in slavery. God said to him, "Get a lamb without spot or blemish, the firstling of the flock. Slay the lamb, roast it with fire. Take that blood, put it on the door, and I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Abel had the lamb typified. Abraham had the lamb provided. Moses saw the lamb blood applied. Right here. My heart. The blood is applied. The blood's got to be applied. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. You see, the blood was applied. Well, Isaiah 53 says, Isaiah chapter 53 declares unto us, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report? He shall grow up before God as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. Hath no form or comeliness. He's a man." So we see the lamb personified. It's not a sheep lamb. It's not a ram lamb. It's a human lamb. You see the lamb typified in Abel's sacrifice, provided by God, applied by Moses, and personified. He was wounded for our transgression. Not it. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. By his stripes we're healed. It's a man that God provided. It's a man. And then John the Baptist here said, he identified him. All those people around there, you know, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it just takes your breath away to think about it. He walked out there. And old John says, "There he is. There's the lamb identified. That's who he is. You got a lamb? There he is. He's a lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's who he is. Don't know him, you don't know God. Don't have him, you don't have God. Don't come to him, you can't come to God. He's the only sacrifice for sin. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. "Who art thou, Lord?" "I'm Jesus of Nazareth." There he is. He's identified. I've identified him now. John's identified him. Every preacher that's got the grace of God in his show will identify that lamb for his congregation, making no bones about it. That's right. Making no Muslim or Arab or Sheikh or whatever. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You got what I'm saying? That's who he is. And that's the only lamb. And then I see the lamb crucified. That's right. "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the Lamb crucified. And Paul said this so clearly over and over again, I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 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 He's got to be a reproach. He's got to bear our sins. He's got to pay our debt. He's got to pay the fullness of God Almighty's justice on our behalf. Crucified! But thank God He rose. He arose for our justification. He arose and He ascended. He that descended, ascended to the right hand of God. And there the Lamb, typified by Abel, provided by God, applied by Moses, personified in the person of Christ, identified by John the Baptist, crucified of old, is now glorified at the right hand of God. Turn to Romans Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Here it is. Here it is, Revelation 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, that's, he's omnipotent, seven eyes, he's omniscient, seven spirits, he's omnipresent. Spirit of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hath made us kings, made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's the Lamb. Glorify. Behold, the Lamb of God.